As we enter in the time of hearing God's word, let us open with prayer. Blessed you are, Lord, great God, for the testimonies of the prophets, we bless you. For the statutes of your law, we bless you. For the gospel of Christ and the witness of the apostles, we bless you, O glorious God. Grant to us the spirit of your glory and the brightness of your presence, that we might read your word and understand. Through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Deuteronomy. We'll be reading from chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. This can be found on page 214 in the Red Bible and 168 in the Blue Bible. Hear God's word. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you.
Good morning. Today's sermon is one from Reverend Paul Kuhn, July 4th, 2010. Preached just right next door here. Going over this, it was a different time even just 11 years ago. Things seemed to be more peace in the world, maybe not, but the reflection of Paul's sermon. And the United States really didn't have any competition, appears. As I recall, he calls us the only superpower. I think things have changed a little since then. But as Henry pointed out, I'm treading on Zach's John right smack in the middle where he is right now, too. So this will be another perspective on the John reading of 8:31 through 38, which if you'd like to follow along, page 894 in the Blue Bible, 1138 in the Red Bible. Again, that's John 8:31 through 38. Of course, my marker's fallen down into the book. Okay. John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide by the word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." May the Lord bless our understanding, this reading of his holy word. From Reverend Kuhn. Brothers and sisters in Christ, As we gather here this morning to worship God, we are surrounded by evidence of the blessings of His creation. On this Independence Day weekend, it is well to be reminded of the great and bountiful gifts with which God has blessed our nation, for we are indeed particularly blessed. We live in the most productive land in the whole world, even in years with flooding or drought, hailstorms or early frost, or other factors that reduce production here and there across the country. There is no doubt that we will raise enough food for all our citizens and many more. No nation's farms or farmers are more productive. Our nation is blessed with great mineral wealth, silver from New Mexico, iron ore from Minnesota, coal and petroleum right here in Wyoming, and timber, Virginia's yellow pine and hardwoods, lodgepole pine from Montana, redwoods from California, and fisheries, king crab from Alaska, salmon from the Pacific Northwest, and shrimp, even after the Horizon spill and its eventual cleanup, not to mention the bounty of the Chesapeake Bay. And we have been blessed with all manner of other good things for our people. We also live in a country containing some of the most beautiful places on this earth. In less than an 8-hour drive from Casper, you can see canyons and mountains and sand dunes and forests and lakes and prairies and clear skies and wonderful sunsets that simply takes one's breath away. We have been, in the words of Deuteronomy, blessed in the city and blessed in the field, in the fruits of our beasts, and when we go out and when we come in. In many ways, we, like Israel, in the best of her days, have been set high above all the nations of the earth. The Deuteronomic promise of blessing seems to have been fulfilled here in our nation as much or more than it ever was in Israel. Most of us probably count our freedom as chief among all our blessings. I hope this is so, for it is from our freedom that many of our blessings flow. In freedom, our people settled this land, building farms and towns and factories. In freedom, our people constructed ships and automobiles and airplanes. Our energy industry and intelligence have been unleashed in this freedom to build and grow, to invent and create, to make the most of what God has provided. Indeed, freedom is what allows us to see and appreciate all of this. Most of us probably think somewhat more about our freedom on this 4th of July weekend than we do at other times of the year. With John Adams, we may look upon Independence Day as a great festival of freedom, as much as a celebration of the founding of a nation. We may hear an echo of the rallying cry of the fight for freedom spoken by Patrick Henry of Virginia to centuries ago, "Give me liberty or give me death." It is good for us to remember and to celebrate this great gift of freedom. But as Christian folk, we also need to remember to be very clear about what freedom truly is, and where it is, and from our other blessings, where it comes from. And we must know that the freedom our nation celebrates this weekend, while it is certainly a gracious gift from God, still it is not true freedom, which is proclaimed by the gospel. Our New Testament text shows Jesus in conversation with some people whom John calls the Jews who had believed in him. In this dialogue, Jesus says to them that if they continue in his word, they are his disciples, and they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. The Jews respond by saying that since they are the sons of Abraham, they have never been in bondage to anyone. Since they say, "We have never been other than free, how can you say we will be made free?" This response shows that these Jews do not understand that Jesus is not talking about a national or political freedom. They knew full well that the children of Abraham were held captive in Egypt for generations and again in Babylon. They were also quite aware that Israel was under the firm control of the Roman Empire even as they spoke. But Jesus' reply makes clear that they do not fully understand what kind of freedom he is offering to them. Whatever the freedom the Jews may think they possess, Jesus responds to them by speaking of the only true freedom, that freedom without which all else is of no value. This true freedom is freedom from the bondage of sin and death. Jesus says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The one who continues in sin is a slave to sin and cannot break away from it on their own. St. Augustine has said that slavery to sin is the worst slavery of all. He wrote, "At times a man's slave worn out by commands of an unfeeling master, finds rest in flight. Where can the servant of sin flee? He carries himself with him wherever he flees. He cannot withdraw from himself, for the sin he commits is within. And so it is the true freedom, this freedom from slavery to sin and death, which the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims. Patrick Henry's choice of liberty or death really sets out the possibilities quite well. Either we are the children of God, enjoying what the Apostle Paul calls the glorious liberty of the children of God, that is eternal, or that we are slaves to sin, destined to receive the wages of sin, which is death. It is the Son alone who can free us from slavery to sin and death. It is in Jesus that we find his glorious liberty, this true freedom. He tells us that this freedom comes from knowing the truth of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Please note that knowing the truth comes from continuing in Jesus' word. No one-time passing meeting is spoken of here. Rather, an abiding and continual seeking, something like a habitual reliance, resting upon, and practicing of Jesus' word is what he requires. True freedom, you see, is bound up in obedience and discipleship. One of the great benefits which our earthly freedom in this nation allows is the freedom to seek to be obedient to Jesus' word. We are free here to worship God as we see fit. We are free to conduct our personal lives in accordance with our beliefs without any great fear of persecution. We are free to seek the truth, which leads to the true freedom of the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And we are free to share that truth with others. But with true freedom comes responsibility. That is as true for us in our religious lives as it is in our political lives. It has been said that the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. Jesus says to his listeners and to us today that the cost of true freedom is continuing in his word. This is a word of exhortation for us. Be diligent in prayer and worship in practicing the faith, and in each step taken in our journeys of faith, be constant in seeking the will of God. As we read in our passage of Deuteronomy, all the other temporal blessings of city and field are also bound up in obedience. The text began, if you obey the voice of the Lord, all these blessings shall come upon you. All of the following promised blessings are dependent upon the condition that Israel obey, and the verse which follows our text contains a series of curses which are promised if Israel does not obey. You know, it used to be quite common to refer to the United States as a Christian nation. The Puritans and others who settled here took pains to try to order their communities according to the law of God. And there still exists a majority in the United States who profess to be Christian, but our nation is not, and never was, God's chosen people in the same way in which Israel was. God's chosen people now consist of those who belong to the body of Jesus Christ, those who believe in him and obey his word. But the United States has been blessed by God above any other nation of the world. Each Sunday across America, the people of God sing the doxology, beginning with the phrase, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." I hope this will help to remind us that just as true freedom comes from only God, so also does our earthly freedom come from him. As eternal life comes only as a gift from God, so too do all those things which make our earthly life possible, and in this country so often full, rich, and free. It is only by the will of God that we were made free in this land, and it is only by his will that we retain our freedom. I'm glad that it is the United States and not some other country that is the world's only remaining superpower. In the West contest with radical Islam and others who would enslave the world if given the chance, I'm glad we have the great arsenal of men and machines represented in our armed forces. And I am glad that to support this arsenal, we have the great economic engine of our economy that is the envy of the world. But you know, there is a real temptation here, a real seduction we must guard against. We are so ready to believe that we are in control, that we will maintain our freedom, that our efforts are what ultimately matter. Especially in a nation such as ours, so blessed by God, set high above the nations of the earth in wealth and power, It is so easy to forget how pitifully small and helpless is all the power of man besides the awesome omnipotence of our God. In this time of celebrating, in this time of celebrating all the benefits of living in these United States, in our celebration of our nation's independence and freedom, it is well for us to remember that all things come from God, and on Him we do depend. In 1897, about 125 years ago now, at the height of the power and glory of British Empire, when it could literally be said of that era's only superpower that the sun never set on the British Empire, while the world's only current superpower, the United States, still was a developing nation. Rudyard Kipling was commissioned to write a poem to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the reign of the great Queen Victoria. At that time of celebrating the power and dominion of the great nation of its era, Kipling wrote these cautionary words, which we now say as a prayer, which give a fitting end to this sermon today. God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of the far-flung battle line, beneath whose awesome hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies, the captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, as humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Amen.